The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
The shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Drew Eklund, off back into the San Jose zone.
The thing with him is he's tall, 6'4", but it's not like he's skinny. He's 225 pounds. That's a big guy move.
Back across, one-timer, score! You old Jimmy Ronta! Rips it past Georgiev for his second of the game, second of the third period, and the Avs have doubled up the Sharks. They've got a 4-2 lead. That came out of nowhere, and Jimmy Ronta doing Jimmy Ronta things.
Yeah, it's frustrating, I would say, is the biggest word. Is it's extremely frustrating because we should be getting points. We should be winning some of these games, and we're learning how to win. I know I sound like a broken record saying that, but I truly believe we're going to start winning these games. We're going to. We're in it against really good teams. We're playing with some pretty good structure. Our effort's pretty solid. Our competitiveness is there. We're just, when it's time to make the play, we're just a little off. And I truly believe in this group. I truly believe in the organization and the direction it's heading. I know it's frustrating as a fan. Trust me, we're extremely frustrated in there. But I know our guys are working extremely hard to make this organization and the fans and the community really proud. And it's going to get there one day. Hopefully we can start seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and getting some points here soon.
All right, good morning, everyone, and happy Friday. That is a frustrated head coach of the San Jose Sharks, Ryan Warsawski, speaking after their Thursday night loss to the Colorado Avalanche, a final of 4-2, a game third consecutive that the Sharks had a lead at home in the third period and ended up with a loss. That is the first time that has happened in the history of the National Hockey League, which is remarkable because for all the history that San Jose has been associated with, that's not one that I saw coming. San Jose, over the course of its history, has mostly been able to take care of business when they lead at home. Not so as of late. Three consecutive games in which they've lost after they've had leads at home in the third period. This was a game in which San Jose did have a lead, did go toe-to-toe with a great Colorado team. And I know that you're saying, well, come on, Ted, look at the record. But no, now they've got Mackenzie Blackwood. They are getting healthier. They, again, are not going to be surprising me if they are in the final four teams at the end of the year. But San Jose was going toe-to-toe with one of the better teams in this league and then suddenly found themselves on the wrong end of another tight game. They were right there against Utah. We didn't love the penalties. They ended up falling 4-3. They were right there with Winnipeg. That game, they played about 52 minutes, and then in the last 8 minutes of the game, stopped skating, and Winnipeg was able to come up with a 4-3 win. Tonight, it is a 4-2 loss in which San Jose did have a lead, like I said, and did fight back from an early deficit and did outplay Colorado. But I think when all is said and done, Colorado had more talent at critical positions. If you look at the battle of goalies, Mackenzie Blackwood outdueled Alexander Georgiev. If you look at the battle of special teams, well, Colorado had multiple power play goals. San Jose did not. And it's tough because very similar to the game against Winnipeg and against Utah, you felt like points were there for the taking for San Jose, only to see them slip away. And I know that if we look back at the schedule, especially in recent memory, we're going to come to a relatively similar conclusion. And that is the fact that San Jose, well, they should have lost these games. If you look at the schedule, they won in Seattle at the start of that road trip. That's relatively expected. Then they beat Washington. That was the unexpected one. They then lost to Tampa. Okay, I saw that coming. They lost to Florida. Saw that coming. Lost to Carolina. Saw that coming. that's not surprising that the road trip went that way. It was a little bit shocking that they beat Washington, but you know, you're looking at those first five games as having one win. That's not shocking. Then you beat St. Louis. That's not shocking. So if you walk away from that road trip with three out of the six games as wins, that's impressive by way of the win against Washington. Then you come home, you have a tough loss against Utah, you have a tough loss against Winnipeg, and a tough loss against Colorado. If you do look at those, the winnable games presented as Utah and St. Louis. Sharks got a win over Washington in there, but this bit of scheduling was going to be difficult from the start no matter what. And then now we look at what is next for San Jose, and it does not get any easier if you were hoping, because next up is Edmonton, and after that is Vancouver. Then they get a couple of days off for Christmas. Then it is Vegas, Calgary, and Philadelphia. No matter how you looked at this, it was going to be hard for the Sharks to walk away with many wins just based on where they are in their organizational timeline right now. But I do think, as much as the loss has hurt, it is indicative of where the Sharks are going. They lost 3-1 to Florida. That's probably a blowout a year ago. They lost 3-2 to Carolina, a blowout a year ago. They got a win, 4-3 against St. Louis. Probably not a game they win a year ago. They lost to Utah, 4-3, a tight, tight loss. They lost to Winnipeg, 4-3. That's probably a blowout, just like it was earlier this year, or if we look back at last year. And then Colorado, a 4-2 loss. Again, a very tight performance. The Sharks, even without the moral victories, even without getting any victories, I think it's very evident for everyone to see that they are taking steps in the right direction. And I would expect that trend to continue against Edmonton and against Vancouver, because they just are playing better and what I would classify as close to good hockey. It's not great hockey. It's not blow-you-away hockey. But there's talent out there on the ice for San Jose. It is a developing, young, exciting team. Macklin Celebrini does incredible things out there on the ice. Will Smith has impressive performances. He had some great looks in last night's game. Wasn't lucky enough to find the back of the net. Mackenzie Blackwood made a big stop against him. That's just how it goes sometimes in the NHL. We also see a new player like Nikolai Kovalenko. He's settling into his own and continues to perform at a high level as he has throughout the entirety of this rookie campaign of his with both Colorado and now San Jose. You look at Mikael Granlund, Tyler Toffoli, William Eklund. You get Grundstrom coming through with his first goal of the year. There is a lot to like about San Jose's game right now, even with the losing, because I think that they are very close to turning things in a better direction, just like you heard from head coach Ryan Warsawski. And, you know, we knew this was not going to be a suddenly turn it around and start winning every game type team. But I think these losses are that much more frustrating because you have been able to get an overtime win against Washington. You have beaten up on LA. You have been able to get tight victories up to this point of the year. But it's all part of the process of San Jose learning how to win. And I think that that is something that does go into this. It's not just being talented and letting the work take care of itself. I think you do have to learn how to win. And right now, part of learning how to win is for San Jose to be absolutely just ticked off about the losses that they're incurring in winnable games. It's three in a row against Utah, Winnipeg, and Colorado that they could have walked away with 2 points, at least 1 point, and walked away with none. That's got to be the mentality that they take into Edmonton on Saturday, because it's not like Edmonton's going to make life easy for them. And again, that's going to be the exact same situation when they take on Vancouver on the 23rd. And well, beyond that, Vegas, Calgary, and then Philadelphia. So San Jose, they are dealing with adversity in real time. You heard head coach Ryan Warsawski speak to it. He feels like they are still going in the right direction, even if the results aren't there. And he has to sound like a broken record. But again, that's one broken record that I can understand exactly where he's coming from. And I agree with him. The results are not there. However, the effort, the performances, the improvement, those are there. The third periods have been rough, but when I look at things from an unbiased perspective, San Jose losing to Winnipeg and Colorado is not relatively unexpected. What is unexpected is they went toe-to-toe with these top-tier upper echelon teams. All right, enough from me. I had a great conversation with Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports last night after we finished up our post-game coverage. Enjoy. All right, we are here in the green room at the NBC studios. Doesn't look very green. No. And I've been told it's not easy being green, so maybe that's the reason why. But it's also, Not easy for the San Jose Sharks to win at home, setting some dubious NHL history tonight, becoming the first team in the history of the league to lose three consecutive games at home in which they had leads in the third period. Alan, that is a remarkable run of losing for San Jose, considering if we go back a couple of weeks, all we want to talk about is their third period.
Yeah, their third periods were good, especially in November, trips against, you know, Pittsburgh, Rangers. Even if they were losing, they would come back and score late. But yeah, this the last three at home, three-game losing streak. I think I said four in postgame. I was just keeping everyone on toes, making sure people pay attention. But yeah, they've given up nine goals. And, you know, it hasn't like they've been playing. The Utah game, I think they would want that period back.
Yes.
And say, we won pretty much the majority of the 20
minutes. The penalties didn't help. I'm not going to be that guy, but we didn't love the calls in that game.
Yeah, we didn't love the calls. They also didn't have the puck. So, yeah. you know, those things kind of happen. But then the Jets, they actually played a pretty decent third period. And then here against Colorado, they played a decent third period. I think the Jets' third period was the best out of those three.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of it maybe is just kind of bad luck and how it goes, but yeah, it's kind of unfortunate, and especially when you think about how old this league is.
Yeah, I mean, 106 years old, we're to be setting history for the San Jose Sharks. It's not the type of history that they want to be setting. One of the things that I look at when we, and I'm not trying to make excuses, but you go back, you look at that road trip, you've got Washington, yep. You've got Tampa, you've got Florida, you've got Carolina, you've got St. Louis, then you come home and you've got Utah, you've got Winnipeg, and you've got Colorado. If we are being completely honest, looking at this stretch of games, St. Louis and Utah presented as the winnable games. They happened to beat Washington.
Yep.
They lost to Utah. They did beat St. Louis. On paper, they were not supposed to beat Winnipeg or Colorado. I mean, this is where we get into the moral victory type talk, is they went toe-to-toe with these top-tier teams, just like they did with Carolina, just like they did against Florida, thanks in part to Mackenzie Blackwood. They also had that win in Washington. So, I mean, is this kind of what we expected?
Yeah, I think if you, to an extent, you chop it up and say, okay, this was, if you go through, everyone goes through a schedule like, oh yeah, this is a win, this was a dub, it's a loss. And you think, yeah, this was going to be a tough stretch. They're playing some of the best teams in the East, and then come back and play gauntlet of the West because it doesn't get any easier. They play Edmonton and then Vancouver right before the holiday. So you want to say these are games that going in the year you knew they would be tough to win. But then when you have the leads in the third period, I think the hardest part is probably you just want to get a point.
Yeah.
You want to get a couple points because, you know, it at least shows, hey, we got a point. We can add that to the column and maybe move up in the standings or kind of keep there on the fringe of the wild card picture, which they were there for a few games. And maybe people were thinking, oh, maybe they're going to make a push. But on the other side of it, they didn't get any points, and they are still a team in the rebuild mode. So the team won't talk about it, but they didn't get any points, so everything stays where they've been.
I think the thing that we do like about this is that they are still entertaining. Even if they're not getting wins, we're still entertained every single night. Macklin Celebrini, that behind-the-back, off-the-wall move that he made was, I don't know that I've ever seen that before. And I think that's one of the things that when we watch Macklin Celebrini, it's like he's doing things that we just haven't seen, and it's not just that we haven't seen him in San Jose, but I mean, off the top of your head, can you think of anyone doing that specific move anytime soon? Or recently, I should say?
No, I mean, and I said it, but to know you could do it is one thing. Like, you always practice these things. Like, oh, I play golf more. I haven't played golf in a while, but, you know, you go out to the range, you try things, you're like, oh, I could do this on the range. I could do this. But then you stand over the shot in the middle of the fairway, and you're like, I'm not going to pull the trigger here on that shot because I don't think I could do it in real time. But he did it in real time, and, you know, golf is a slow-paced game. Hockey is definitely not, and he did it in real time. So I think that's the most impressive thing. It's one thing to be able to do the move. It's another to be able to do the move in the moment and right off the top when you need to do it and execute. I mean, he doesn't look at the puck anyway, so it doesn't matter if it goes off the boards behind your back or not.
No, that's the thing. He doesn't have to look at the puck at all. His skill level is at such a fantastically high level. And what's amazing is that play, which was something that we're just not used to seeing, almost led to a scoring opportunity, and almost horseshoes, hand grenades, and nuclear bombs, whatever. But his point streak came to an end, and when we're talking about a guy who's played, this is what, his 23rd game tonight?
Yeah.
And is 18 and a half years old, not quite, I don't think. We're
shocked that his point streak is at an end.
I don't think he's He's not half yet because his birthday was in June. So we're getting close. You're right. We are getting close. It is impressive what he's doing, and he's always impactful. Even in this game, he was impactful for the San Jose Sharks. He rang one off the post. He made Mackenzie Blackwood make a couple really big saves. He was mic'd up, too, so I would love to go back and listen to what he said to Mackenzie after one of those big saves. I don't think we may ever know, because who knows if it is safe for work. But I would love to see it. I just think every game he is noticeable. So that's impressive to see. I would like to also say there's a play late in the third period. We didn't even get to talk about it, where William Eklund scored a goal tonight. But he dives. It's an empty netter situation, comes back and dives. And that just still shows the buy-in that these guys have. Because 4-2, less than a minute left, what does it matter if they score the empty netter or not? You're probably, the chances of you coming back in that game are very slim. But for him to lay out and still do that at that time still shows that this group still cares. And it means a lot to him. And I only also bring up William Eklund because he's also 22 years old. So he is also, like Macklin Celebrini, going to be a part of the core if San Jose turns it around.
I think that what you're speaking to is the fact that these guys are sick of losing. I think William Eklund, you know, this is his second full year, but he was here for brief stints in the 2 years before.
I mean, if we want to get into the rookie talk and what is a rookie, I would like to have a conversation, because William Eklund should have been a rookie last year.
It's a longer discussion, but I mean, I think these guys are sick of losing, and I think that's probably what Mike Greer wanted. And you know, I was worried initially, probably overly so, that the team would feel somewhat demoralized by the trade of Mackenzie Blackwood, but I think they're professionals. They understood what they were getting into with San Jose, and I think Mike Greer brought up a very good point of, you know, Mackenzie played himself off this team. His play was, you know, needing to be on a team that was going to be making or attempting to make a deep run in the Stanley Cup playoffs, of which I think the Avs qualify for that definition. And the Sharks are still playing extremely hard, right? In the games since that trade, they have come up with some big performances. They beat St. Louis. They obviously had very good performances against both Utah, aside from the penalties, Winnipeg, Colorado. Yes, Colorado does get the two-goal win as opposed to the previous 4-3 scoreline that had marked those games. But, you know, the Sharks are in these games. They have not shown any lack of resolve or character or anything like that since the trade has been made.
Yeah, they have faced it and accepted it and kind of moved forward. And you do wonder, because Mackenzie was really well-liked in the dressing room, how the guys were going to kind of bounce back from that. And I'm sure it was shocking a little bit, but I think they're professionals. They know where they are in this situation. And yeah, they're probably deep down sad to see a buddy go, but also Mackenzie's got a chance to go chase a cup. And if you're a true friend, you want your friends to be successful. And so it was kind of probably a double-edged sword. I don't know if double-edged sword is the right word, but you know, feeling two sides of things. But it's been nice to see them still respond. You get Nikolai Kovalenko in that trade, who maybe initially you think, oh, this guy's just a role player, kind of a throw-in, but he's looked really good. And even tonight, doesn't have as much of an impactful game, but there was a couple moments for 15 in that. And that, so I think Nikolai's a piece in, whether that's a top six, top nine, he's definitely a top nine forward in my estimation, 25 years old. So he's a little bit older on the rookie side, but that's a good piece. And you get the second round pick, so you're still kind of still rebuilding and still getting something productive out of that.
What do you think about Georgiev in this game? Because I do think that we look at the four goals allowed and we say that's not going to cut it. I'll qualify that by saying, okay, but two of those were off the power play.
Yeah.
He did make some very big saves in this game when it looked like Colorado was pressing. But we also have some critical goals that he gave up in the third period, which I think at least one of those, the fourth one especially, is one that he wants back, where, you know, he just misses it. He's reaching out towards it. He doesn't make the save. And so I'm kind of stuck of two minds of where I've seen Georgiev through these games and said, I like a lot of what I've seen, but a couple of these goals that he's given up, you think, okay, he needs to fix that, because it doesn't feel like he's that far off, right?
No, but that's the NHL, right? Like you can be good for 38 out of 40 shots, and the two that you let in happen to be the ones that difference maker. They let a four, so it's not a 2-1 game, but that's just kind of how it is. And that's how, like, that's also speaks to goalies are always going to be thought of on that goal differential and how many goals allowed. Even if they have a good game overall, 90% of the game, that the other 10% is what teams, fans, whoever it may be, will look at. So it is tough. That's just what you do, though, when you sign up to be a goalie. I think your game was pretty good. I think, you know, I don't know the minutiae and all the things about goalies and their technique, but to me, it feels like sometimes he loses the net a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a little, maybe too far of a move, and then he gets back into position.
I think the term you used is he's a little bit too busy.
Yeah.
Like you said he needed to stay rooted a little bit more.
Yeah. Yawn rooted. Yeah. And maybe it's easier to do when you're Mackenzie Blackwood and you're 6'4 and 220 pounds and you don't need to move very much because you're just a big human being. And Alexander Georgiev is a smaller dude, a little more athletic, so maybe he does have a different style. But yeah, I think maybe we quiet it down. I don't know. What am I saying? I'm just like, yeah, quiet down. It's easy to do, right? I mean, he's won 40 games in the league. That's the other thing. Is like, he's won 40 games, so he knows what he's doing. He knows how to win games. There's other guys in front of him for that. But the one caveat to this is Yaroslav Askarov has a chance and has an opportunity here. If he can go out and play like he did the first time he came around, where he only gave up 2 goals in back-to-back games and looked pretty good, other than, you know, giving the St. Louis Blues a goal with his stick. If he comes out, this is an opportunity because you want your number one guy, whoever it's going to be to the future, you want him to take that net. And the Sharks aren't going to just hand Askarov the crease.
No.
He's got to go take it. But, I don't know, it seems like now is a good chance to go take your net.
Yeah, the Vitek Vanacek injury is just so... That's up there with of the more fluky injuries. I mean, I know there's been guys in baseball who have hurt their hands sneezing and playing video games. Somebody hurt their wrist Guitar Heroing too much a couple years ago. I forget who it was, but I remember thinking, like, that's...
Didn't Jeremy Affeldt hurt his hand cooking?
He was separating frozen hamburger buns from Costco,
okay.
Which I do that move. And my wife even said, like, didn't the guy? I was like, yeah, I know. That's not going to happen to me. So it hasn't yet.
I don't think that's things real for wood. Sure. I mean, and it just really unfortunate. Like, he's Vitek Vanacek's sitting there minding his own business. And the puck comes and gets him square what it looked like in the face. And now it's significant enough that Warsawski said in practice that he's going to be out. He's week to week. So we know for sure he's not going to be here. They said probably at least a couple. And so he was a guy coming back, rounding into form. Yeah. He had already gone down with the upper body that looked in the head area as well. So it's just unfortunate timing for Vanacek, especially, you know, him as a person. Obviously, you want the player and the person to be all right. But also, if you think about his career,
right,
he's an unrestricted free agent. And what does this mean for him going forward, and where it means for his career? And, you know, they all, you know, fans don't like to talk about it, like, oh, they're professional athletes, so we shouldn't, but they have families.
Yeah.
They got to deal with their families and
a short window to earn.
Yeah. And there's an uncertainty, like anybody, if you know your job's up in 6 months and you don't know what you're doing next year, that's a little anxiety. I would be a little
what
flustered.
Do us in broadcasting know about that?
Alan? No, nothing at all. Nothing at all.
There was one power play tonight where the Sharks' first unit looked extremely active and extremely just connected.
Yeah.
And that's the one that I look at and I say, how do they unlock that every single time? Because it was, for one moment, it was like, oh, Macklin Celebrini is active. They're moving the puck. Tyler Toffoli, Mikhail Granlund, Alex Wenberg. You saw just so much movement and activity, and you really, really liked what you saw. But earlier in the game, they had an anemic power play where they didn't do anything. So I'm just hung up on, like, what worked so right in that moment that they can replicate? Was it just the aggressive nature? Was it the fact that they were able to move the puck so effectively?
I think that's it. It's when their power play has struggled, it's usually a one shot and done. They don't recover it, and the other opposing team clears it out, or they're not connecting on their passes. Mm-hmm. And that one power play, I think it was the second or third one, they were hitting passes left and right. It was executing tape to tape. They weren't missing. They weren't fumbling, because the one thing that hurts you, if you fumble a pass, that's when the PK is going to pressure you, yeah, and you're going to lose that puck because that's when they come in. And yeah, they just have to execute. I think it seems so easy to say, and you're like, oh, just execute. But if you go tape to tape, then you can start opening things up. And also that one, they win in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to go tape to tape and you're around the corner, around the edges, and nothing's really
what they did on that first
which
one.
Which was first one. They also didn't get the puck to Macklin Celebrini on that one. But yeah, I think it's just you got to go tape to tape. You got to execute. I still would like them to shoot a little bit more and try to bang some rebounds in. They do have high skill out there. It's funny because if you look at the unit, it's got pretty good high skill level if you compare it across the league.
Yeah.
It's just not scoring. And that's another one of those close but no cigar type situation. I also would like, this doesn't have to do, just I like the second unit to see it a little bit more.
Yeah.
I just would like to see, like, on the second unit tonight, I think was Eklund, Zetterlund, and Will Smith. I think you just, if the first unit's not getting it done, whether they're executing or not, it used to be a 1 minute, 1 minute. Back in my day, it was 1 minute, 1 minute. But now it's usually the first unit's out there for a minute and a half, and then the second unit gets the slim pick.
Yeah, they have 30 seconds
here's
left.
Here's 30 seconds. Go get them, boys.
Yeah, 1.5 possessions. it's interesting just because you see with the San Jose Sharks and all the conversations we're having, we're talking about works in progress, whether it's Georgiev trying to refine its game, whether it's the power play, whether it's San Jose looking at this difficult bit of scheduling, which, by the way, extends into the break with Edmonton and Vancouver. Yeah. Like you said, you know, here's two of the top teams in the West. Merry Christmas as you finish the year in the great North. Whew. But, I mean, this is a work in progress with San Jose. And the final answer we heard last night from Ryan Warsofsky was talking about being cognizant of where the Sharks are at this moment of time. And saying that he wants to get there to where they are able to win these tight games, but he kind of acknowledged that they're not there yet and that there are no moral victories, even if they are taking steps forward.
You got to take steps forwards, and you have to find, I think you also have to find a way to keep moving and keep pushing, because if you let the weight of the losses kind of build and that you're not getting where you need to go, I think it can get hard. But I did love that answer from Warsofsky. I also love that he said, like, yeah, you fans are probably frustrated, but guess what? Like, the amount of frustration we feel sometimes from the outside looking in on the team about, hey, you should be able to do this, is minuscule to what the guys in the room are actually feeling. Because we could talk about the rebuild and what Mike Greer is doing and getting draft picks. And as you said once to me, trust in the process. The guys that are playing, though, they're not trusting any process. They're going out there to win games and they're going out there to, they're to
get
bust
contracts.
Yeah, get contracts. Like, it's professional. Their livelihood is on the line. Like, Luke Cunningham is a unrestricted free agent. He's having a great year. Like, these guys have something to prove. So they're going to be just as frustrated. It doesn't matter if the Sharks are supposed to lose games. These guys have pride, and they're hockey players, because they also can't quit, because if they are looking for that contract or other teams, you're still auditioning.
Right.
No matter if you're in this league for 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, you're always auditioning for the other teams because there's a trade deadline. Your contract is inevitably coming up. So you have to put on tape that you are a player that other teams should invest in. And so, you know, yeah, fans can feel frustrated, but the guys in the room feel frustrated because they want to win games. They want to finish off these games that they have leads in.
Yeah, it's true. Well, Al, it's late and we've got to go. But join us on Saturday. Let's start first. Sharks Audio Network, 12:30 pregame, 1 o'clock go time. Nick Bonino will be joining Dan Rusinowski on the call in Edmonton. So I'm excited. I'm a big Bonino fan. I loved it when he was here in San Jose. We went to the same barber, actually, so it worked out very conveniently. And then Al and I, what was that? What,
you the barber?
Yeah, well, I was the barber. we took turns barbering each other. I mean, that's the inside joke. But I will also be, let me say that again, 12:30 pregame for Dan on the audio network, 1 o'clock go time against Edmonton. I'll be back here in San Francisco with Alan, 12:30 pregame right here on NBC Sports California, 1 o'clock go time, as the Sharks take on, what's his name? McDavid something, right?
McJesus.
Yes. Yeah. That's what it is. It's, but as well as they played against Winnipeg and Colorado, I am excited for the game. The Sharks, despite the losses, they remain exciting and entertaining.
Yeah, we got McDavid versus the next McDavid. No pressure.
No pressure at all. All right.
Again, that was Alan Hoshida of Sharks pre and post game live on NBC Sports California joining me here on the Sharks Audio Network. And now the Sharks have a day of practice on Friday and then travel to Edmonton where they take on the Oilers Saturday at 1, pregame 12:30 right here on the Sharks Audio Network. And then they're off to Vancouver on the 23rd. That one is a 6 o'clock start. We are all out of time here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks and Alan Hoshida, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.